All last week, I felt the Lord lead me to devote my time to planning the future of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God gave me a great week. Praise the Lord for it. There's a lot of work to go. To make a long story short, I was planning on pulling out an old sermon for today. And many times when I do that, it takes me a long time to discern what message the Lord wants me to preach. It wasn't that way this week. As soon as the Lord laid this on my heart, He put this message on my heart. Now, many of you have heard this before, but it's a message that, I'll be honest with you, would maybe even be good to bring out every year. Just to give you a reminder about how you can live in victory over the devil in your mind. And I want to preach to you today out of Matthew chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. I guarantee that everybody here today needs what I'm preaching. Period. By the way, no matter what's preached, if it's preached from the Word of God, we can all say we all need it. We understand that. But I'm saying this is no doubt something that everybody deals with. Everybody. It'll make sense as we go through. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto Him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is said, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto Him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh Him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world, the glory of them, and saith unto Him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto Him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, Him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth Him. Behold, the angels came and ministered unto Him. I draw your attention to verse number 3. It's a title given to the devil. We know it's the devil because it's brought out in verse number 1. The title of the devil in this passage, he is called the tempter. The tempter. And this morning I want to preach to you on that subject of the tempter. Let's pray together. Father, we love You this morning. I thank You for how You no doubt led me to this message. And I pray as folks are here and folks are potentially listening online, I pray that You will speak to all of our hearts. Speak to me. Speak to every person here. And I pray that we'll do eternal business with You. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. In the account before us is the story concerning the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in my study many years ago now, as I was looking at this passage, the sweet Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. The one thing He began to show me in this passage is the one who attacked or tempted our Lord. He's called here the tempter. Now, it seemed as if the Lord opened this passage up to me in a way that it exposed this wicked one who is called the tempter. You know, within the pages of Scripture, the devil has many names. He's called Satan. He's called the devil. He's called the prince of the air. He's called the serpent. He's called the father of lies. But one of his names that gives us an insight into who he is and what he does is found here. He's also called the tempter. Now, in this message, it is my desire to expose him and to enhance you for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, there are three important things about the devil that I want to bring out to you in this passage. Before I get to the outline, let me remind you in 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Bible says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, let me say this to you, my friends. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. The devil is not what the Cartoon Network portrays him as being. He is not some kind of a red creature with horns coming out and a pitchfork and just a long spear tail. That is not the devil. The Bible calls him an angel of light. He's a deceiver, which means that if he walked in this auditorium, he would be the most beautiful thing that you have ever laid your eyes on. He's a beautiful creature. He deceives, and that's what he does. He lies, he deceives, he tempts. Now, I want to give you three things to help you, because the fact of the matter is, we know that the devil cannot be except in one place at a time. He's not like God. He's not omnipresent. You ever heard somebody like this? The devil's attacking me. The devil's attacking me. Now, I want to say something. The devil is somewhere today around planet Earth. We know that. But it doesn't mean that it's literally him attacking you. But I guarantee it's him or his demons won. Amen. He has a multitude. He has an army. He has fallen angels known as demons in the Bible. And they are going about doing the business of the devil, trying to overthrow God. I've got news for them. It's not going to happen. Amen. But he's going to try to wreak havoc in our lives. He's going to try to do anything he can to knock you out of the race, so to speak. Let me give you three things about him right here. First of all, let's notice his enticing. This word enticing means to tempt with hope of reward or pleasure. Now, I remind you, this is exactly how he tempts you. He doesn't tempt you and say, now this is going to ruin your life. Go ahead and do it. He doesn't do that. He tempts you to say, if you do this, you're going to get rewarded. You do this and you're going to have pleasure. He tempts you in this way. Do you realize this entire story, verses 1 through 11, shows how the tempter tried to entice the Son of God into doing something that he knew would destroy him, into doing something that would wreck and ruin his life? Let me give you a couple of things here before I get to letter A and letter B under here. Let me tell you that the devil is out to do two things to us. First of all, he's out to shake us up. We see this in the book of Luke chapter 22 verse 31 where the Lord looked at Peter and he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what that word sift means? It means to shake violently. May I say this to you? The devil is trying to rattle you. He's trying to shake you. He's trying to shake you loose. So he tries to shake us up. Secondly, to swallow us down. We see this in the book of 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what that word devour means? It means to gulp entirely. May I say this to you? The devil's not trying to take a bite out of you. He's not trying to nibble on you. He's not trying to bite your finger off. He's trying to swallow you whole is what he's trying to do. He's trying to make you disappear. That's what he's trying to do. And let me tell you what he does to do it. He entices you. He tempts you. In the Australian bush country, there grows a little plant called the sundew plant. This sundew plant has a slender stem and tiny round leaves. It has fringed hairs on it. It's got these little tiny hairs that stick up on its leaves, and these little tiny hairs glisten with bright drops of liquid, as delicate as fine dew. To the insects that are flying around and so on, those bright drops look beautiful to them on those hairs. But the insect that dares to land on those leaves needs to watch out, because although the attractive clusters of red and white and pink blossoms are harmless, the leaves are deadly. The shiny moisture on each sticky leaf here on each leaf with these hairs are sticky, and it will imprison any bug that touches it. And as an insect struggles, once it lands, because it sees those bright drops and those beautiful colors, the insect will land on those bright drops. And those bright drops are like a glue-like substance. So now the insect is stuck. And once the insect starts struggling to get loose, it sends an internal thought to the plant that something's landed on me, and the leaves begin to enclose around this tiny insect, and what the insect thought was going to give it life, thought was going to give it satisfaction, is now taking its life and eating it on the inside. Friends, the devil knows what sundew plant to use in our life. He knows what looks good, he knows what smells good, he knows what tastes good, and he knows that he can get us if he can just get us to focus on his beauty. He's after you. He's after me. And I want to give you two major things about his enticing. Number one, under this, it was a pointed enticing. Now you say, what do you mean? Notice how he attacked the Lord. Notice the language of Scripture. Look at verse number 2. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. You know what that means? That means the Lord was hungry. Wouldn't you be after 40 days and 40 nights? Some of you are hungry now and you had breakfast. He's gone 40 days, 40 nights, and the Bible says afterward, he is hungry. Guess where the tempter tempted him first? With food. Pointed, specific. Here's what I'm saying to you. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He is God stepped out on stage as we preach through the book of John together and so on. But at this time in his life, the devil knew where his flesh was vulnerable. He knew where in his flesh he was weak. So that's exactly where he started his temptation. Friends, listen to me. Everybody is vulnerable. Everybody has a weakness. You have a weakness. I have a weakness. Your weakness may not be my weakness, and my weakness may not be your weakness, but I guarantee you the devil knows what weakness we have. And he's going to specifically, pointedly attack us there first. Pointed. I don't know, maybe your weakness is lust. Maybe it's what you look at, or maybe it's pride, thinking too much of yourself, or maybe it's bad music, or maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's you're just a worry wart, or hey, going back to last Sunday, you just doubt all the time, or you're afraid all the time, or maybe it's your friends, or maybe it's somebody you're dating, or maybe it's the eye gator. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but everybody has one. Everybody does. And the devil knows what it is. And he's going to tempt you there first. His name's Oral Hershiser. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they ask him about his philosophy of pitching. And here's what he said. He said there are two theories of pitching. He said one is that you try to convince the batter that a particular pitch is coming, and then you throw something completely different. Like you try to make him think you're going to throw a fastball and you throw a curveball or a changeup. But he said that is not the philosophy that I use. Here's what he said. He said the other philosophy is know what a batter wants and know what he expects and throw the ball almost there. In other words, if he's a high ball hitter, like a high fastball hitter, throw it just a little bit too high, because his eagerness will prevent him from laying off of it. But it'll be hard to hit it well. Now, I can identify with this. I love to hit fastballs. Maybe not now. I probably couldn't, you know, it'd be in the mitt, strike one, and then I'd swing probably now. You know what I mean? But I love to hit fastballs. And what he's saying is if you have a high fastball hitter, give it to him just a little bit higher. Because of that high fastball hitter, when he sees it, it looks like a beach ball coming in at him. But when he commits to swing and it's too high, he's going to hit it straight up or he's going to hit it straight down, and he's going to realize what he thought looked good is going to get him out. The devil knows what looks this big, what looks that good. He knows what to throw, and he does it pointedly. Secondly, he does it persistently. You say, what do you mean? Notice what happened here. In verse number 3, he tempts the Lord with food. Verse number 4, the Lord refutes it. Look at verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, saith him on the pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written. And he's quoting scripture, but he's taking it out of context. Verse number 7, the Lord refutes it again. Look at verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kings of the world, and the glory of them, and said, all these will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You know what the word persistent means? It means continuing, enduring, repeating. Here's what I'm saying to you. When he tempted the Lord specifically, and the Lord said, no, excuse me, he didn't stick his tail between his legs and run off. He came on another angle. Right here, the Lord said, no. And again, he come from another angle. The point, this is so important. The tempter kept coming back. He kept on coming. Some people have the idea that when you win a battle, you've won the war. I'm sorry, that's not true. This battle with the devil, now I know this is not great news, but it's truthful news, and you need to understand this. This battle with the tempter, with your mind, trying to live in victory over him, we're going to get to that momentarily, so just stay with me. This battle of trying to say no, trying to say no, trying to say no, trying to say no. You say, is it ever going to be over? Yes. When? When you get to heaven. And you need to understand that. This is a constant, persistent battle. Let me tell you why the devil gets so many Christians. Because he is more persistent than they are. He's very persistent. He's a rascal. And I'll be honest with you, I don't love him. I hate him. And you better hate him too. Because he hates you, he hates your God, he hates Jesus Christ. He's trying to take you down. And if you, listen to me now, if you play patty cake with him, he's going to run you over. He can't stand you. The reason he can't stand you is because we mean so much to God. God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us, so the devil can't stand us because he can't stand God who loves us that much. That ought to make you want to stand up and say, he's not going to get me. But he'll only not get you if you fight it God's way. Number one, his enticing. 1 Peter 5:8, again, I've already quoted it. The Bible says, be sober. That's present tense. Be vigilant. That's present tense. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh. It's all present tense. Be sober. Be vigilant. He's walking about, seeking present, whom he may devour. He is persistent. He's pointed. Secondly today, not only his enticing, but number two, let's look at his enemy. Make no mistakes about it. The enemy of the tempter, the enemy of the devil, is the Word of God. That is the enemy of the devil. Now notice what the Lord did every time. Every time the devil tempted him, notice what the Lord did. Look at verse number 4. But he said, it is written. He is quoting scripture. Look at verse number 7 after the second temptation. It is written. He is quoting scripture. Look at verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. There were three temptations, and the Lord quoted scripture three times. Now, friends, I'm giving you something. Many of you have already heard this before, I understand. This is just a good reminder for you. Some of you have not heard this before. This has changed my life. It's changed my life. May I say this to you? I'm not perfect. I know that. I fall just like you fall. But I can honestly look you in the face and say, I am living in victory in my mind. I am living in spiritual victory over the tempter. That does not mean he doesn't knock me down every now and then, because he does. But you don't have to stay down. You can get up and go on for the glory of God. Now I want to give you some things here, show you what the Lord showed me. By the way, what I'm getting ready to give you only applies if verse 1 is in your life. What is that? The Bible says Jesus was led up of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? What I'm getting ready to give you to fight the devil only works if you're Spirit-filled. And only works if you're Spirit-led. In other words, you're just going to do your own thing, go your own way. You don't care what God says, what the Bible says. There's something wrong in your life. You don't care. You're just going to leave it alone. What I'm getting ready to give you will not work in your life. Do you understand what I just said? Here's who I'm talking to today. Are you here today? As far as you know, your heart's right. You know you're not perfect, but you want to do right. You don't want to live in defeat. You don't want to have that worry. You don't want to have that fear. You don't want to have that temptation. You desire to do something for God. Anybody like that here today? Amen. This will help you if you're led of the Spirit, filled of the Spirit. Then this is going to help you to live in victory over the tempter. I was studying this, and I was like, okay, how did the Lord use the Word of God? How did he use it? And the Holy Spirit opened it up to me and said, the same way the devil used his temptation. You say, what do you mean? How the devil uses enticing, pointed, specific, and persistent, he never stopped. Guess how a Spirit-led Christian lives in victory over the tempter in their mind? By using the Word of God pointedly and persistently. Let me explain, okay? The first temptation, chapter 4, verse number 3, he tempts the Lord with what? With food, correct? What did the Lord say in verse number 4? He said, it is written. He's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. All three quotations is from the book of Deuteronomy. And from the book of Deuteronomy, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you see it? The devil took food and said, here it is, eat it. So the Lord quoted a verse that deals with food. After this, the devil took him and put him up on the pinnacle of the temple and tried to tempt him to commit suicide. And to this, the Lord quoted in verse number 7 from the book of Deuteronomy, said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil took him again and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you will just fall down and worship me, I'll give you these. So he's trying to get him to worship him. So in verse number 10, he quoted again from the book of Deuteronomy and said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And him only shalt thou serve. Now you say, Jody, what do you mean? Notice the Lord quoted verses every time that applied to the specific pointed attack of the devil. Food, a verse with food. Tempted him to commit suicide, don't tempt the Lord. Worship falsely, worship God only. You see it? Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Ephesians 6:11-17 is the passage with the armor of the Spirit, okay? Talking about the armor of God. And the Word of God says in verse number 17, I think it is, and says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, in context, it's talking about standing against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. You know, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, and all this. And then he says, take the sword of the Spirit. What you stick with, what you defend with, take the sword, which is the Word of God. Interesting. Whenever you look that word up, word, W-O-R-D, and it's in reference to the Bible, God's Word, it's one of two words that's used in the original language. It's either the word logos, which means the entire Bible, or it's the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, which means individual parts of the Bible. Okay? Interesting, in that passage, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11-17, when it's talking about fighting the devil, fight the devil with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, he did not use the word logos. He used the word rhema. So let me read it this way. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is individual parts of the Bible. Now what does that mean? What is he telling us? You know what he's telling us? He's telling us some people have the mistaken idea. All you've got to do is take the Bible, blow the dust off of it, put it on your coffee table, and the devil's going to run from you. I got news for you. That's not true. He's not scared of the Word of God sitting on a coffee table. Amen. But he is scared when a child of God who's filled with the power of God learns the Word of God specifically, and when the devil tempts him, he pulls a part of Scripture out and he sticks him. May I say this to you? When push comes to shove, the devil is a coward. Did you hear what I just said? Now, he's more powerful than I am in my flesh. I cannot approach him in my flesh. I am no match for him. But listen to me, friends. He is no match for my God. And he cannot stand the Word of God. If you stick him with the Word of God, he'll run from you. He'll flee from you. I'm telling you, you must learn the Word of God specifically. I'm going to show you how this works here in just a moment. But secondly, you need to use the enemy not only pointedly, but persistently. The same two points as under the enticing, pointed, persistent. His enemy, the Word of God, is to be used pointedly, persistently. Every time the tempter attacked, the Lord used the Word of God every time. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad that he did not do it this way. Well, I'm going to quote Scripture this time. Next time, I'm going to take two steps to the left, get on my knees and pray. And the next time, I'm going to go over here and run a lap or two and all this and wave my hanky up to defeat. He didn't do that. Every time the tempter tempted him, he pulled out a Scripture and stuck him with it. You know what this tells me? It's the same for every temptation that's thrown at you. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will at the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now let me illustrate this. Okay? Let's say that somebody here is struggling with fear. You're just afraid. The direction the country's going, all this stuff, you know, overseas, and you're just fearful. You're fearful. You know it's not right, but here comes the spirit of fear again. You're reading the Bible. You're praying. As far as you know, you're led of the Spirit of God. You're trying to be filled with the power of God. You understand what I'm saying to you? But there it is. There it is. As far as you know, your heart's right, and you know what you're feeling's not right. You don't want it. And at that time, when you're in the privacy of your own bedroom or you're at work and you have a smile on your face, but inside you are tortured because you're worried to death, you're afraid for your life, you're afraid for this, afraid for that, why don't you learn verses like Isaiah 41:10 that says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know, there are some people who struggle with their eye gate, especially men. Men struggle with what they look at. And maybe there's a man here right now, you know that your heart's right. You don't want to look at that. I'm talking about maybe driving down the road, there's a billboard, and you're like, good night, why in the world would they put something like that on a billboard? I mean, your heart's right with God, you're reading the Bible, you're close to God, you're trying to be led of the Spirit of God, and there's something right in front of you, and you say, God, help me not to look at that. Why don't you quote verses? Like Psalm 101:3, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And keep saying it. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You know what I've learned? Either you will stop quoting or the devil will stop his temptation, whoever wants it the most. I've learned it. Some people struggle with things like music. They know what they're listening to is not right, but they're so tempted. They're so tempted. And they're channel surfing when they're driving down the road, and there's a song. Maybe you grew up on it, but you know now God doesn't want you to listen to that kind of stuff or whatever. I'm not throwing it out. I'm letting the Holy Spirit take this. And yeah, I shouldn't listen. Oh, I'm so tempted. Good night. What am I going to do? I want to do right. Well, why don't you quote Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. singing and making a melody in your hearts to the Lord. Some people just struggle with their mind. You know what my greatest battlefield is? Right there. You know what your greatest battlefield is? Right there. It's your mind. And you might have, hey, have you ever had a thought go through your mind like, where in the world did that come from? You ever had that? I have. Every time I look in the mirror, you know what I mean? I just, where did that come, you know what I mean? You ever been right with God? You want to do right? You've been reading the Bible, you've been praying. As far as you know, your heart's right with God. You're trying to be led of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, there's a thought, and you know it's straight from the pit of hell. You ever had a thought like that? Welcome to the battle with the tempter. What do you do at a time like that? Why don't you learn verses like Philippians 4:8? Whatsoever things are honest, true, just, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. Why don't you learn verses like Isaiah 26:3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You want me to tell you a beautiful thing about the Word of God? You listening to me? It's written by topics. Yes, it's by books. But there are verses in here that deal with anything you're dealing with. Makes no difference what you're dealing with. The Word of God has something, whether it be a Bible story, whether it be a verse. It's got something that deals specifically with what you're dealing with. Learn those verses. Take the Word of God. Now, I've helped you with this. This is not all original with me. Some of you already have a copy of this, but this is front and back. There's several of these out on the table, out in the lobby. I put them out there in between Sunday school and now. They're out there now on each side of the table. Take this. This is front and back. And it says scriptures to use against the tempter. If we run out, let me know. I don't think we will, but we might. If we do, let me know. What I've done for you is there are topics. And underneath every one of these topics, there are scripture references. Every one of these scriptures under that topic deal with that topic. Let me read these topics. See if any of these hit you. Addictions. Anger. Anxiety, that's worry or fear. Assurance of salvation. Bitterness. Resentment, hate. Coveting. Materialism, jealousy. Children. Depression, defeat, discouragement, envy, evil thoughts, God forgiving me, me forgiving others, gossip. Oh, I'm sorry, I got hung up on that. Guilt, the husband's relationship to wife, the wife's relationship to husband, children's relationship to parents, parents' relationship to children, impatience, impurity, laziness, loss, lonely, hurt, lust, lying, pride, trusting God, television, temptation, the wicked tongue, or worldly music. This is not exhaustive. In other words, I didn't hit every topic, but I can about guarantee I hit you somewhere on there. You say, how do you use it? Take it. Look up the scriptures. Write it down in handwritten form or type it out, print it out, fold it up, put it in, ladies, in your pocketbook. Men, put it in your back pocket, put it in your billfold. Keep it on you, keep it on your person while you're memorizing. Just keep it on your person while you're memorizing, all these kind of things. And lo and behold, there it is. You're on your lunch break. There's that thought. What do? You go get the paper, get it out, start reading it out loud, meditating on the Word of God, asking God to take it away from you, and He'll take it away from you. It works. I'm telling you, it works. But you have to work it. You have to work it. These are for you now. They're out there. Take them. Take them. We can make more of these. Take them. Ask God to give you victory. Then finally today, major point number three. Number one, His enticing, pointed, persistent. His enemy, the Word of God, used pointed, persistent. Then finally, number three, let's notice His exit. I like His exit, don't you? I like it when He leaves. The Word of God says in verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. Behold, the angels came, ministered unto him. After a long, pointed, persistent attack by the tempter, and after our Lord resisted him by the Word of God, the Bible says in verse 11, the devil leaveth him. Let me give you a couple things about his exit. Number one, it was tentative. That means it was conditional. Let me ask you a question. Did the devil have something better to do that day than tempt the Son of God? Do you have anything else better to do than that? No. Then why did he leave? Because he had to. The Lord met the conditions to get him out of there. He was led of the Spirit, and he stuck him with the Word of God. Let me say this to you. He left because he was forced to leave under the condition that he was being stuck with a Spirit-filled Savior using his Word as a sword. You ever heard this verse? Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. I'm preaching on resisting and how you do it, okay? But you cannot bypass the first half of that verse, friends. That verse starts off this way, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. See, there's no resisting without submitting. And when you're submitting to God, he can help you resist the devil by using his word. You know what the word resist means? It means opposing, withstanding. The word submit, where it says submit yourselves therefore to God, means be under obedience, put yourself under, be subject. You know what the word flee from? Where it says, and he will flee from you. You know what the word flee means? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know what that word flee means? It means he's going to run away from you, he's going to shun you. It means he don't want anything to do with you. Stay away from me. Can I say something to you? Don't you want the devil to say, I don't want anything to do with him? Well, do you or not, friends? I mean, wouldn't you want the devil to run away from you instead of running at you? I want him to run away from me. I want him to shun me. I don't want him to have anything to do with me. I'm not getting around him. Good night, I'm staying away. That only happens if I'm led of the Spirit and I hold the sword of the Spirit and say, come get some, big boy. Come on. Come on. I'm not saying you're tempting him. I'm saying that you realize you can't fight him. The Word of God can. And when you use the Bible in that way, he'll stay away from you. He'll run from you when you're sticking him, I'm talking about. But this is so important. I'm just about done here. His exit was tentative. It was conditional. But number two, turn to Luke chapter 4. Now, this is one of those stories that other gospel writers wrote about. And Luke also wrote about this particular story. We're looking at his exit. When the Lord Jesus, who was led of the Spirit, used his word as a sword and stuck the devil pointedly, persistently, the devil left him. But look at Luke chapter 4 and verse number 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. What's the next three words? For a season. You know what that tells us? He was coming back. So his exit was not only tentative, it was temporary. This is so important. Again, I've already said this, but let me say it again. It is vitally important that you do not think when you've won a battle, the war is over. It's not. He'll be back again. Isn't that great news? Isn't your pastor encouraging you today? The devil's listen, he's not going to wave the white flag of surrender forever. He's not going to do it. This is why we need to walk with God every day. It's why you need to make sure that your life is being led of the Spirit every day, because he's going to attack you more than likely every day. And using the sword of the Spirit only works if you're Spirit-led, verse 1. That's why it's important you stay close to God. And then learn to use the Word of God in this. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In this story, three simple things about the tempter: his enticing, his enemy, his exit. And may I say this to you? If you and I are a victorious Christian a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now, it depends on what you do with the tempter. I want to ask you, are you living in defeat or victory over the tempter? I'll be honest with you. I am sick and tired, nationwide, whatever the case may be, I am tired of what I call Christian casualties. Now, by the way, you may be sitting here today and you say, I've already lost. No, you haven't. See, the devil will try to make you think, you've already gone this far, you might as well throw in the towel. God doesn't work that way. God wants to give you a brand new fresh start right now and go forward for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. And can I just talk to you as your pastor just a moment? I'm not much of a pastor. And I'm not trying to be falsely humble. That's how I really feel. I'm not much of a pastor. But I'm going to tell you something, God, what God's given you. God has given you a pastor that loves you. I love you. I don't want the devil to get you. He's after you. He's studying you. And he knows what he's going to go after. I am pleading with you. I am begging you. If I could get down on my hands and knees and grab your feet and beg you, I'd do it. Walk with God. Be led of the Spirit. And learn the Word of God specifically. Take this sheet, make it a starting point, not an ending point. And when the devil comes to you, take the living Word of God, take it out and stick him. And before long, you're going to see him running away from you. But don't ever put the sword back in its sheath and turn your back, because you'll be coming right back down that same path. Determine to live in victory. It'll only happen if you fight him God's way. Do you understand this? Do you get this? If you will practice what your pastor preached today, it'll change your life for the better. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Give us victory. No doubt the devil is alive and well today. Help us, Lord, to have victory over him. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin just to play through softly. And even though this is a little bit different than normal, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me just a minute. I feel like the Lord's prompted me to remind you of this verse in the Word of God that says, I'm paraphrasing, that the devil's going around in anger because he knows his time is short. He knows his time is short. He's trying to change that. He's not going to. But he's so angry about that he's going around trying to wreak havoc as much as he can, as quickly as he can. Make sure that havoc is not in your life. You can live in victory, but only if you go God's way. I want you to bow your head there and close your eyes. Let me give this invitation this way. I remind you that you cannot have victory over the tempter unless you're led of the Spirit of God. Well, you cannot be led of the Spirit of God if you are not in the family of God. You can't live in victory over the devil if you're not even a child of God, because God is the only victory over the devil, you see. Is there one today, say, Jody, pray for me. I've come to this church service, but I do not know for sure that heaven's my home. I do not know that. I do not know for sure that heaven is my home. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand, anybody at all? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Say, I do not know for sure that heaven is my home. I don't know that. Anybody else? Put your hand up. Put it right. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hand right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, if you raised your hand to that question, I want to speak directly to you. So I'd like you, if you wouldn't mind, you've already raised your hand. I've already seen your hand. But I'd like to speak directly to you in a tender, compassionate way. So I want you to lift your eyes and look at me just a moment. Just you who raised your hand. Now, the Lord is obviously speaking. Okay? Could be you're doubting. Could be you're fearing. Could be that you're lost. We don't know. Okay? I want you to know that you're among friends. You're among friends. We care about you. There was a day when I would have had to look at the preacher too. Let me say this to you. You'll only regret if you don't do something about this. Does that make sense? So when we give the invitation, I'm going to come down right here and meet you. We're going to have a lady take a Bible, share with you the gospel. Today could be the greatest day of your life. Please, don't stay in your seat. You come and let us help you. We can't force this. We can't jam it down your throat. We're just inviting you. And I trust you'll do the right thing. Okay? Amen? Good. 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 I need a couple of ladies, please. If a couple of ladies will help me here. God bless you. I like this. I like it. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Let's help. Let's help right here. God bless you. That's good, isn't it, friends? Amen? Let me ask you this question. How many today say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. And I've been living what you've been preaching. I'm trying to be led of the Spirit, and I'm using the Word of God, like you said, in a pointed, specific way. And I can attest to the fact that this really works. Have you are a Christian like that? You've already been living what I preach. You've already lived it this way. You've been fighting the devil with the Word of God like this. How many are like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Hey, does it work or not, friends? Amen. I'm not asking, is your life perfect or you never... I know that. But it works. It only works if you work it this way. The Word of God in a specific way, a pointed way. And how many of the rest of you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that. That was in my opinion, a majority in this auditorium could not raise your hand to that question, but I want to ask it this way. How many of you say, Jody, I'm not living in victory like that. In other words, I'm not using the Word of God like that, but I want to have this victory. I'm not living what you preached. It could be that you just learned this today. It's not that you've been rebelling, but you just learned something today. And you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. I want this victory. I want it. I really want it. I couldn't raise my hand saying I have it right now, but I want it. I really want it. I really, really do. That's your heart's desire today. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, this is me. I want this. I want this. Now, if you raise your hand, I want you to put it down. I want you to listen to me closely. We're going to stand in just a moment. Brother Nathan's going to begin to sing. I want to invite you to the altar. And let me encourage you. Get one of these sheets as you leave. Put it into practice. Let's all stand together, shall we please? Father, we love you. Bless now. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Brother Nathan's going to begin to sing. If God has spoken to you as he sings, would you come now as he sings?
Because
I want this victory. Give me this victory.
There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Sing another verse.
For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
They're playing through. You can look this way. We're dealing with folks. We're almost through. Remind you now, these sheets, some of you already have a copy. The copy you have may have been the full sheet that we gave out several years ago. Brother Bob Mann has taken this and put this on a half sheet for us. I appreciate him doing that. And it's on cardstock and all of that. Miss Brenda, run these off. Please take advantage of this. And take this and put it. Listen, this is a sermon. If you don't put it into practice, it's not going to change your life. But if you put it into practice, it'll change your life, period, period. We're going to sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, this will be it. Let me encourage you to be back tonight for the Lord's Supper. You come and ask God to speak to our hearts. Let's sing that first verse again. Nobody else comes. This will be it, okay?
Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His
word. You know
word.
This song, sing it.
Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
We're playing through. Amen. This is Brenda Maynard, is that correct? If you'll stand, Miss Judy will stand there with you. She has been saved years ago, but the Lord has spoken to her and she wants to rededicate her life to Christ. This is the starting point. And we appreciate this decision. And over time, you'll prove the sincerity of this decision. Make sense what I'm saying? We want to help you. Love to help you. You stay in here with us, we'll help you. We're not the only church, but we are a church that's going to give it to you straight and help you along life's way. God bless you. If you're happy for us, say a big amen. Would you do that? Amen. Amen. We're just about done here. This is Jacob Greer and April Johnson, if they'll stand. They've been coming for quite a while now. And the Lord's working in their heart and life. They've got decisions they want to make, and praise the Lord for it. And this past Thursday, in their home, or right outside their home, with a couple of our men, they trusted Christ as their Savior. Is this true? So on Thursday, you put your faith and trust in Christ, not this church, not the baptism, nothing like that. You trusted Christ and Christ alone. Is this true? Amen. We're thrilled for you. I like it when God is working and you don't say anything, but the Lord is showing them this, that. It's a beautiful thing. And we welcome you to the family of God. We're glad you're here. I'd like for you to stay there and for Miss Maynard to stay there. I'm sure our folks want to come by and greet you. Be back tonight, Lord's Supper. Deacons, I'll meet with you at 6:15, okay, in the blue room. That'll be good. All right? I'm going to ask Brother Bob Mann's father. It's good to see you, sir. God, congratulations on the new grandbaby. 11 pounds, 4 ounces. Praise the Lord. And doing well. Mama's doing well. Thank you for being here. If you'll dismiss us in prayer today, please.